I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, snow is starting to melt for a lot of us, and what's left underneath are just really ugly-looking grass right now. And you're seeing a lot of problems with snow mold already.
We are. Just 2 years ago, I put sod down on the north side of my house. Because it shaded in the afternoon and evening, I was like, this will be a perfect place for me to play baseball with my kids, you know, to play catch and football. And so we've got this area all prepped for my kids to play outside. Mm-hmm. And I went out, yesterday, the snow finally melted off and probably 80% of it, which it's an area that's probably 70 or 80 feet long by 30 feet wide, and 80% of it has snow mold in it.
So how are people going to be able to tell whether it's snow mold or their lawn's just been smashed down, it doesn't look great?
Well, the snow mold will mat the lawn over to the side. It flattens it under the weight of the snow, and that creates an environment where it's kind of lower oxygen, and the fungi, and there's multiple species that cause snow mold, thrive in wet, low oxygen environments. And so when the snow melts off, you'll actually sometimes see this mass of fungus over the top of the grass that disappears after a couple of hours. But the result is the grass is just laid down. It's almost like somebody took a board and put it on top of the grass so that and made the grass lay flat. Mm-hmm. You pull the board off and the grass is just tipped over. So, and it has a real, like a straw yellow, but really almost white with a straw yellow tint to it also. But you'll see that the mat, instead of just being brown like the grass usually is, it's matted over.
Okay, so what is your best advice? Where do they start if they're not quite sure?
There are no sprays that will stop snow mold available to homeowners that are affordable. And even what's available isn't really practical. Because you have to be able to reapply it every 60 days. And how do you do that with snow all over the ground? And so it's just best to let the snow melt off and then rake the grass just with a leaf rake, fluff it up.
Yeah, gently, not like gently. You're power raking it.
Yeah, and you may pull a lot of dead grass off even with a leaf rake. But the fortunate thing with snow mold, about 80% of the time, it doesn't kill the crowns of the grass. And so within 8 to 10 weeks of the snow melting off, we'll be into June, the grass recovers. But if you don't rake it, the damage will be a lot worse.
Yeah, I know a lot of us don't think about snow mold, but we go out and rake it just because it looks so terrible. It's matted down.
And yes, and it will pull back, but there's enough roots and crowns. There are enough roots and crowns left over that it generally will recover over time. Now, snow mold is at its worst in areas that are shaded, so the north side of my house, and where you pile snow from winter snowstorms. And so,
are you kidding? You know how much snow's been on our lawn?
Yeah. So it's really common along the sides of driveways, along sidewalks, and in areas where it takes longer for snow to melt.
Okay. Anything else we need to know about it? What happens if you do all those things and then in June your lawn is still in bad shape?
Rake it up so you get down to the soil and resod or reseed.
Because that's your only other option.
That's your option. I mean, the grass will eventually fill in if it's Kentucky bluegrass, but it takes quite a while to do that if there was heavy damage.
Okay. And you can find an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Before we take a break, Barbara's been waiting on the line for quite some time. Let's go to Barbara in Salem. Good morning, Barbara. What is your question?
I'm wondering about a laurel bush on the west side of my house. I know that some are sensitive to sunlight, and I'm wondering if there's a variety that is not so sensitive.
It's actually not the summer sun that damages them. It's winter sun. And so anything that's broadleafed and evergreen is going to be more susceptible to sun damage. And whether you're using Autolichen, Dwarf English, Skipka, whatever it is, you know, Mount Vernon, I see damage potentially on all of them. Now, once in a while, I do see a row of laurels on a west exposure doing really well, but 6 or 7 times out of 10, they're oftentimes scorched because of the winter sun.
So they scorch in the winter? Or
yes,
just the winter sun damages them?
Well, what will happen is the roots freeze, and then the sun hits the leaves and evaporates water out of them. And because the roots are in frozen soil, they can't draw up more water to replace what they lost, and the leaves dry down. And so, you know, if it was in an area where the ground didn't freeze, they have a lot better chance. And so if you had 3 or 4 inches of bark mulch over the top of the soil, that might help a little bit, but there's still a good chance that they would scorch.
So it's probably not a good idea.
I don't know that it is. I mean, they're also very susceptible to deer damage if you have deer. So yeah, I mean, if you wanted a broadleaf evergreen plant to maybe survive there, you could look at maybe, and I'm not guaranteeing that it would survive, but Julia Jane Boxwood is...
Boxwood?
Yeah, Boxwood.
Julia Jane
Boxwood seems to be more sun tolerant than most other broadleafed evergreen plants.
Okay, so Boxwood, Julia Jane.
Yeah, not possibly any Boxwood, Julia Jane Boxwood.
Okay. All right, any other suggestions for a shrub?
You could try privets. They have a semi-evergreen leaf to them and will hold their leaves for 9 or 10 months out of the year. They tolerate pruning quite well. That would be a replacement. I mean, there's many other things you could do.
Do they come red in the fall?
No, they don't. The privets are usually just, they hold their leaves until mid to late November and then just kind of turn brown. Golden privet is one that people seem to like. It has a nice golden yellow leaf through the first half of the summer and then the new growth.
It has a golden leaf?
Yes.
But one that has a green leaf isn't as good.
Oh, they're fine too. It's just that people like the ornamental qualities of the golden leaf if you go for such things, but a green leaf privet would be fine too.
Okay. All right.
All right,
Barbara.
Thank
you so much.
You bet. Thanks for your call this morning. We also did have a caller who just wanted to mention to us that they did find a primrose lilac online that is a yellow color. But some of these are more like what you've seen as the white, or they're just kind of the creamy white color.
Yeah, they're usually creamy yellow, and they're not a true yellow.
Right.
And so it could be lilac, and it's just a yellow lilac. They're uncommon, but they do exist.
All right.
And they're creamy whites or creamy yellow.
Let's take a break. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon 2 teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, is replacing their front lawn with a flagstone patio, and they would like you to recommend a small tree with a wide canopy, and they live in Orem.
All right, small trees with wider canopies.
Do those exist?
Small tree to me means small tree. And so I think they're looking for something that won't overtake the area. So I wish I knew the dimensions on the patio, but there are some fruitless crab apples that would work. So spring snow, it's going to be more rounded. There's a newer one called Prairie Rose that has pink flowers. It's mostly fruitless. It's really pretty. Mm-hmm. And then they could look at maybe something like a maple. State Street maple gets about 30 by 30. Hot Wings is 20 by 20. Grows a little more quickly. And so the dimensions on the patio would be very useful to be able to recommend a few things, because it's hard because they want something 10 to 12 feet or 20 feet or 30 feet.
You need more information.
I need more information.
All right. Next listener has a couple of mimosa trees. One in particular isn't doing very well. It's very tiny after 3 years, and they're wondering what's a good fertilizer for it and when should they fertilize it?
Any lawn fertilizer without weed and feed in it, the weed portion of the weed and feed would be fine. And I would probably fertilize with 3 or 4 tablespoons of it just around the base now, and then I would do it again in another 45 days. And if that doesn't stimulate growth, then there's probably a root disease that hasn't killed it, but it also hasn't allowed it to thrive.
Yeah, they're concerned because the one that's doing well grows like 6 to 12 inches a year, and the other one is, it's only growing like a foot.
Yeah, the mimosa trees sometimes are called silk trees. They're not, they look like a mimosa you would see in the tropics, but they're related, but they're not true mimosa. Mm-hmm. They're native to Iran and other areas of the Middle East, and they're barely cold hardy here in Utah. And so sometimes when you plant new ones, they can struggle to get established.
Next listener, they live at 7,200 feet. They'd like to transplant some aspens from 8,200 feet to their yard. And they want to know what guidance you have and what time is best.
Just go to the garden center and buy some.
Those small aspens have a
very extensive root system, and they're actually hard to transplant. And for the $15 or $20 a tree that you can get them in a pot, I just think time-wise, establishment-wise, that's the direction I would go.
Okay. Next listener says, is it too late to plant tulip bulbs?
It is.
So what's going to happen if they have them now? You wouldn't just stick them in the ground?
You could. They may leaf out, and they could get flowers next year, but...
So plant them, but they just aren't going to flower.
Yeah, they may not even sprout. We'll have to see. You know, if we stayed cold for another 2 months, which I don't know that we will,
they may.
But you can get those out through December, and they'll be okay, sometimes even into January. But they need to root out a little bit and establish, and then the later you wait, the less chance they have.
What if I have to transplant a bunch of hyacinth bulbs?
If you can wait, let them do their thing until June, and then move them. Otherwise,
plan on losing them?
Well, get a shovel and just dig as deep as you practically can. You don't need to go clear to the middle of the earth, mm-hmm. but go down a good 9 inches and just move the whole ball of soil. Yeah.
Okay. That's possible. Best recommendations to move cherry trees.
Do it soon if they're going to. And if it's been planted in the last 2 or 3 years, they should be fine. Get as much of the root ball as they can. The older that it is, the harder it is for them to get reestablished.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of questions about overseeding. Would you like to give some of those tips for overseeding again?
Yeah, you need good seed-to-soil contact. And so if you're going to be overseeding damaged areas, rake as much as you can away, maybe even loosen the soil, put the seed down, and let rain and snow land and work it into the soil. If you're just top dressing over the top of a lawn that might be a little thin, then go ahead and just broadcast the seed. For top dressing on established lawns, a couple of pounds of seed per 1,000 square feet. If you're starting over completely, I would go towards 5 or 6 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Next person is thinking of growing corn. When should they plant this year? Should they start inside or right into the ground outside?
No, right into the ground. Soil temperatures need to be around 60 or 65 degrees. So I'd run over to the box store, the local store, and get an inexpensive kitchen thermometer that you can shove into the soil. Don't get in a big rush to put the corn in because it is a tropical plant. And so we really need to have warm soil. And so usually mid-May, but a soil thermometer would tell you for sure. And when the temperatures are above 60, maybe towards 65, is when you plant the corn. Now, you can have multiple plantings through mid-June, depending on the variety, or you can buy 3 or 4 varieties that ripen a couple of weeks apart. And if you want a lot of sweet corn that ripens every few weeks.
Can you suggest an apricot tree variety that would do well in Cache Valley?
Apricots will do fine in Cache Valley. It's just the frosts get them. They're actually cold hardy up there. So you could look at Moorpark or Chinese. If you're in the coldest areas of Cache Valley, then you're probably looking at Manchurian apricot, which you have to process it because it's one of those things that sugar fixes anything. So turning it into jam or something. But if you're in Logan, Hyde Park, North Logan, Providence, those areas, then Moorpark or Chinese or Tilton, any of those would be fine.
Next person says, the leaves on their tea roses turn brown. They're now crispy, but they never did fall off. What should they do?
Oh, that's common with the roses. Roses are actually native to warmer areas and they will stay green all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you lived in Southern California, Georgia, you know, North Florida, they grow all winter and they want to do that. It's just the cold forces them. Unless it got hit by really cold temperatures, which they sometimes do, I would just cut it to knee height, maybe thigh height, leave 3 or 4 main canes and see what comes back.
Our next listener says they're wondering if it's time to take the tree wrap off the trunks of their young fruit trees. And also, should they spray with dormant spray before or after they remove that wrap?
Spray after they remove the wrap and they can take the wrap off. It's still too early to do dormant spray because the trees are in tight bud. And so when you start seeing those buds really expand, but before the blossoms break or the leaves do, that's when they need to put the dormant spray on.
But they can take the wrap off now.
They can.
All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. And the number to text us, 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.